friends, and welcome back to my sunroom. At this point, I think I'm going to stop saying the episode number in case I record these out of order. I'm trying to have a structure with my episodes to where one kind of leads into the next as far as topics, and I feel like that's not always going to be the case, but regardless, if I end up recording an episode out of order, I don't want to get mixed up with the numbers, so who knows what number this is or will be, but regardless, we are here for another episode. I'm glad you're here. Thank you for coming back and listening to me yap. I hope that you get something out of listening to me yap, whether it's encouragement or just feeling like you're hanging out with me for a little bit. One of my cousins, Christy, hi Christy, said that in a comment and it made me feel really good. So yeah, or some encouragement, inspiration, whatever. I hope you get something, anything out of listening to the things that I have to say. So today, as I mentioned in the last episode, I want to talk about my sort of unconventional life. I am 32 years old, and I often feel like I've lived many lives and I've pivoted a lot in my life. I've changed my mind about what I want and what I want to be doing with my time, and it has led me to this life that I'm living now that I am actually really, really happy with and content with. And I can see myself doing the things that I'm doing currently for a very long time. And that really has never been the case. So I kind of wanted to share that with you, my backstory with the jobs I've worked and hobbies that I've picked up and dropped and all the things. So I'll start by saying, I mentioned, I think in my introduction podcast episode, that I, after high school, went to college at the Art Institute of Austin for audio production. And initially I saw myself being a music supervisor for movies. I was in choir since middle school, and I've always loved all kinds of music. I can read sheet music and I've written my own songs. I won't claim that they are any good, but I've always loved music and have felt like a very strong emotional connection to music. And I've always loved listening to soundtracks and admiring how music supervisors, the people who choose soundtrack, the music that goes into movies, how they kind of curate the songs that go with the scenes in movies. I've always been fascinated by that. And so, yeah, that's kind of what led me to that. I didn't really put a ton of thought into it. It was just something that I was interested in as a 19-year-old. And so I went with it. And as I also mentioned in that episode, I eventually, after 6 short months, decided to join the military because I wasn't 100% sure that that was what I wanted to do. And also my boyfriend at the time and my roommates were leaving, and I really didn't want to be alone trying to figure out life. So yeah, I ended up joining the military, and I was a linguist in the military for 6 years. I initially, you know, definitely saw it as something that could be long term, but then after meeting Mike and kind of getting older and maturing and learning what I like, what I don't like, I realized that the military probably wouldn't be a long term thing, and that it would just be something to help me, you know, pay tuition after I got out of the military, pay tuition towards a degree in something that I was actually interested in doing for the rest of my life. Maybe, I don't know. And so after 6 years of active duty working as a linguist, me and Mike decided to separate from the military and go to college in California. And we started off at community college. We figured that that would be a good way to like smoothly transition into college. And also, your major isn't, you know, when you choose your major in community college, it's not as like set in stone as it can be at a university. And so, believe it or not, I was initially majoring in computer science because up until this point in my life, I had believed that money was really important and that I wanted to help provide me with Michael a certain lifestyle. And being in the Bay Area, computer science, it's very easy to, if you're smart enough, I guess, to get a degree in computer science and get a job in tech and make a lot of money and live pretty comfortably. And so for one semester, I was a computer science major. It did not take long for me to realize that that is not what I'm supposed to be doing. The math alone was like, absolutely not. And then they tried to get me to take Unix, Linux, which I still don't even know what that is. Mike helped me a lot that semester, but I very quickly switched to graphic design, which is still kind of in the tech industry, but it has like a hint of art in it. And I've always felt like a creative person, but I wasn't brave enough, I guess, to major in art because I didn't think that it was smart or safe. I thought that graphic design was safer, basically, that I could probably have an easier time finding a job as a graphic designer or UX designer, especially in the Bay Area at an agency or maybe doing freelance work. And that's what I actually ended up doing in college. I did quite a bit of freelance work, some brand identity design for some clients that I had found on social media. And it was fun. I did enjoy it, but I also didn't really like the limitations and like parameters that having a client who has very specific needs. I didn't really like that aspect of it. I'm a much more, when it comes to my creativity, I think I need full freedom of expression. And when you have a client, you don't have that. You have to make what they are looking for. And so I was good at graphic design, but it wasn't something that I was really passionate about, but I stuck with it. I stuck with it and got my degree in it because, you know, again, it's safer than if I were to get an art degree. But while I was in college for graphic design, because it is art adjacent, I was able to take some art electives. And I took like art history, and so I ended up taking a hand building class, a pottery hand building class, and absolutely fell in love with it. Like I've said before, I had always been curious about pottery since like high school. I had friends who were taking it, and for whatever reason, I think it was because I was in choir and I was in two choirs. I was in varsity choir and a show choir in all throughout high school, and I think I could only take two art electives, and I was not giving up choir, so I wasn't able to try ceramics. And so yeah, that just kind of just never happened. And then in college I try it and it ends up being the thing for me, I guess, the one thing other than choir that really stuck with me, and I think is something that will stick with me for the rest of my life. And so yeah, that's like what led me to where I am today. So I ended up, you know, starting with music, transitioning to the military, getting out of the military, going to college for design, trying out different things in college, and discovering my love for pottery. And now, as you may know, I own a pottery business called Soil and Sun Studio. And I sell my work. I've sold online. I right now am prioritizing selling at markets here in Asheville. So I sell pretty regularly at a farmer's market here. I have my pieces in a gallery called Odyssey Clayworks, where I actually am doing a work trade program. And it's a studio here in the River Arts District of Asheville, and they teach classes and do independent study and things like that. And in exchange for 4 hours a week of work, basically helping load kilns and mix glazes and clean the studio space, I get access to the studio as well as discounts on classes and firings and materials and things like that. And so yeah, I work 4 hours a week there, and that helps my business basically. And then, as you may know, my sunroom is my pottery studio for now. and I work from home, make everything here, and fire everything there at Odyssey. Yeah, that's like, I guess, my main thing that I would tell people that I do. I'm an artist, I'm a potter, I'm a ceramicist, and I sell my work. And I have a lot of aspirations for the future of Soylent Sun Studio, something that I will probably get into in a different episode, but it is not all I'm doing because I don't want my pottery business to be a full-time thing. It kind of is in a way because I'm like always doing, I'm pretty much every day I'm doing something that is related to my business, but I don't want it to become a grind. I'm not looking for pottery to be able to pay my mortgage. I do want it to be a part of my income, but I feel if I let it become like a full-time thing and something that, you know, the priority is to make as much money as I can in order to pay the bills, I feel like that will take the joy out of it for me. And I just really do not want to do that. And so on the side, I have a part-time job working at a small, cute little co-op seed shop here in Asheville. And there's, I believe, 10 of us in the company. And so it's a very small business made up of incredibly wonderful people. It's literally the best job working for someone else that I've ever had. And basically I spend about, let's see, 20 hours a week. I work at the seed shop and I fill orders, online orders, and I fill packets of seeds. And it's so wonderful because I can just sit and or stand and listen to an audiobook or a podcast and do my work. And it's just so chill. I talk with all my coworkers are lovely, like I said, and I can have conversations with them. And there's literally no stress in this job, like zero stress. I don't ever have to talk to customers. I'm in the back. And yeah, it's one of those things that I could just see myself doing for a long time because of how easy it is. And it's just nice to have that as a reliable source of income. And it's also great because there are seasons like the winter and early summer when people aren't really making a ton of garden related purchases. And so they actually don't need me in the warehouse very much. And so I don't work, like I don't plan on working for most of December, if not all of December. And so that's going to give me time to relax and to work on my pottery a little bit more, or just spend time with family or do whatever I want. And same with early summer. And so it's great because it fits so perfectly with everything else I've got going on in my life and gives me time to rest. And because I also have my pottery business to be able to supplement that income when I'm not working at the seed shop, it just all works really well together and I love it. So those three things, the work trade program at Odyssey, my pottery sales, and working at the seed shop kind of makes up my income and what I spend the majority of my time doing. And honestly, it is all work, but none of it feels like labor. None of it feels like I'm slaving away at something, doing something that doesn't fulfill me. And I don't know, I'm really grateful for that. So yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about, like, I guess what led me to finding or discovering, I guess, this lifestyle and the fact that it is really well suited to me and who I am at my core. And I think it started with me questioning what it was that I really wanted, which started happening more so in college after the military. But I did start to feel like I needed to kind of figure things out while I was in the military, because I knew that, you know, the military was not going to be, I was not okay with doing 20 years like a lot of people will do. And so, yeah, I started questioning then, but then when I was in college and decided, no, I don't want to be a computer science major. So I started asking myself, yeah, what is it that I really want? Who am I? And what kind of lifestyle suits me well? And in questioning this and in like really trying to figure things out for myself and pay attention to the moments in life that I remember feeling alive, I realized that spontaneity, the freedom to change my mind and to pivot so easily, and then my curiosity for learning new things and experiencing new things, those are things that I think I've always really valued. And so the lifestyle that I've kind of built for myself is based off of those desires of mine. I like being able to wake up in the morning and decide what I'm going to do for the day without having to check in with anyone, without having to really consider anyone other than Mike. But I mean, even him, he's very go with the flow. So I just really value that in my life. And so I guess that is what led me to learning that I don't want a conventional like career. And it also is what helped me realize that I didn't want children either, because both of those things lock you in a way to a certain way of living. And I don't see anything wrong with having a career. I don't see anything wrong with having children. I just think that for me and my desire to live spontaneously and to be able to, like I said, change my mind and pivot and not have to worry about who that's going to affect for the most part. Yeah, I realized that those things are not for me. So yeah, I guess that is what led me to this very unique, I would say, lifestyle that I live. And like I said, I think it's a way I can see myself living for a very long time, if not literally for the rest of my life. Who knows? I like changing my mind. So watch me in 5 years have like 3 kids. No, I don't see that for myself, but I don't like to say never, but yeah. I also wanted to talk about how we all, you know, tend to look back at decisions we made, mistakes we made in our past. I do this a lot, and it's something that I am trying not to do anymore, because I think it's very easy to cringe and feel regret at the decisions that I made looking back. But then, you know, I look at where I am now and I have to acknowledge and accept that literally everything I did in the past is what put me where I am today. Like, if I would have done literally anything any different, my life could look totally different. And I'm happy where I am today. I'm here, I'm alive, I'm healthy, and I'm still figuring things out, of course, but that's exactly what life is until you're no longer living it. So there's not really any point to, you know, regretting things that have already happened. They happened, you move on, you learn from them, you move on, and hopefully the things you learn from those mistakes or, you know, decisions, whether good or bad, will help you make better decisions, good decisions for your future. And that's more of how I try to see it. I also just want to encourage you and myself, I guess, to live for you first. I think it's definitely important to build community and to be a good person to the people in your life and cherish the relationships that you have with people. But I don't think any of us should be trying to impress anyone but ourselves. We should be learning, figuring out who we are, what feels right for us to be doing, whether that's building a family or having a career in whatever industry, picking up a certain hobby, trying a new thing. Like, figure out what it is that is for you and don't be afraid to change your mind. Things like that, other than maybe having children, like we gotta think very long and hard about whether or not we want to have children before we have them, obviously, because once you have them, there's not really any going back. So that one aside, I think there's a lot of things in life that we can change our minds about. And yeah, don't be afraid to change your mind and to pivot. But learning who you are and what you actually want without being influenced by society and the people in your life too much is really important if you want to live for you, live for yourself. And yeah, I'll close by saying, I think it's crazy that a lot of people, especially in America, might view my life as risky and reckless and radical even. And it's considered unconventional, especially here in America. Most people work, you know, on average, a 9-to-5, and, you know, they're working for someone. I also want to acknowledge that Mike, I'm married and I also have his income. So, and he does work a 9-to-5. So that does allow me to be a little bit more flexible with what I bring to the household as far as income. But if you add up what I make doing the work that I do, I am able to contribute my share, I guess. So, but still, it's like I said, it's an unconventional way of living as an individual. So yeah, it may be unconventional, it may be radical to some people, but I'm actual living proof that it works and it is an option. And not working a 9-to-5 is something I think anyone can do if that's truly what you want. It's just a matter of figuring it out. And that takes time, a lot of time and energy and support, but it's doable. And I want to encourage anyone out there listening who doesn't see a 9-to-5 for themselves that you can do it too. And I wish you the best in figuring things out. So yeah, I will move on to my Sharing is Caring segment. And the best song that I could share for this episode because of its topic is called Live for You by The Sacred Souls. They came to Asheville this past summer and I'm so sad I didn't get to see them. But yeah, The Sacred Souls, it's a band. You've probably heard their song, Can I Call You Rose? But yeah, Live for You, it's a good song, very encouraging. And then me and Mike recently discovered this network called Dropout, and it is created by comedians and actors, and it's got a lot of different series, comedy series and improv and D&D, things like that on it. But me and Mike lately have been watching one called Game Changer, and it's a game show where the rules of the game are always changing, like every episode, and the contestants are comedians and improv actors. I'm not sure what you call that. And like people who are all friends and play D&D together. And it's really funny. It's really entertaining. And with everything that's going on in the world, it's like really nice to end the day with something that makes you laugh. So I would highly, highly recommend that, checking that out. We have an Apple TV, and you can download the app, the Dropout app, kind of like Netflix, onto it. So I would assume that that's the case for any kind of like smart TV or device, obviously. And you can stream it online too. And I want to say it's free. So check that out. It's called Dropout. Lastly, I wanted to shout out a creator on Instagram that I resonate so much with, everything that she shares on Instagram. Her name is T-Day, and her tag is T-Day Blogs on Instagram. And she lives a very creative life, and she struggles with mental health, and she's very vulnerable and open about living creatively while struggling with mental health. So yeah, if that's something that you're interested in, I definitely resonate with a lot of things that she shares. And I believe she's incredibly talented, and she has a lot of really interesting, inspiring, helpful things to say. So I wanted to shout her out. And yeah, I guess that is all for today. Next week, next week's episode is going to be a little heavier. I'm going to be talking about my beliefs, my spirituality, my relationship to religion, and how that's changed over the years. And yeah, my thoughts and reflections on all that. So come on back to my sunroom if that is something that sounds interesting to you. Thanks for being here, and enjoy the rest of your day.